Yes, my people, how you're doing? You guys are tuned in to another episode of Cricket Talks. This is episode two, where I'm joined by the cricket connoisseur, Aaron, as you guys, some of you guys might not know him. I'm recording this at 7:54, sorry, where upload time is meant to be 8 o'clock, and completely skipped the mind that I was meant to upload and schedule the upload for Spotify and all you guys listening on the podcast as well, because it's ready for YouTube. Need to make sure it's ready for it now. So quickly, before you guys get stuck into the video, where I decided not to do an intro, I'm going to do it separately. If I'm in the mood, it's like this one. I talk with Aaron about, India's problems. This was recorded right before the third ODI, and obviously before Warner's injury. That's going to be something we talk about as well. We talk about how his injury is going to potentially affect him in the rest of the Australia and in the rest of the ODI series and the T20 series, especially the fact that they haven't necessarily got another opener since Finch and Warner have been, such a cemented partnership at the top of the order for in all formats, to be honest, barring the test where, you've got Joe Burns now. Talk about that. We talk about Kohli's leadership, Rohit Sharma's potential rumours and how that's affecting the team. We talk about the Indian with the bowling problems that, we don't normally see, especially with India becoming such a well-rounded side in the last few years, with the discoveries of the Yuzi Chahals, the Cody Gardens, the Washington Sundars, with the which has been a real addition to, the two bowlers that we've generally seen for a while, which isn't necessarily adding a really good X factor to the bowling side in Ashwin and Jadeja, which are good, don't get me wrong, but Yuzi with his right arm leg spin, which is something India have wanted for a while, and a real quality leg spinner, as well as Kuldeep Yadav with the left arm, Bilal Tabrez Shamsi, and he brings that ex those two bring the extra X factor, as a lot of people like to call it. So we talk about that. We talk a lot of things around that. So yeah, hope you guys are ready to get stuck in. Let me know what you think. If you can subscribe to the YouTube channel Mo Blogs, follow this page on whatever you're listening on, whether that's Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Breaker, whatever. It should be on there now. So please follow us, give us your thoughts, and
Like, obviously, very South African centered. It is
yeah.
South African based, but yeah, interesting to say the least. A lot of discussion about AB de Villiers in
You had a
particular.
lot of South African people on your panel.
No, it's on a South African YouTube channel,
Okay.
so I was actually the only English one.
So what were they? What were they like when they lost? Because that's
emotional.
this is now, if we're looking at it, this is a 3-0 whitewash in South Africa. Not a lot of teams have claimed that recently.
It's class.
Right, this isn't even like, okay, first game, you've got one with one. I think was it one ball in the first game? They won with
No,
one ball.
that's the.
The second game.
No, we won by four in the first, one in the second.
Yeah. But this game was with two whole overs to spare, chasing 190. It's from, oh, it's scary. This is I was looking at the India Australia side and I'm like, this is reminding me of India Australia's top six right now. Oh, it's scary, man. So yeah, we're gonna go. We can start with India, Australia. People, I've already started recording. So for the people listening at home, we're gonna keep it more organic. We're gonna chill back, and then we're gonna go for it. Cool, yeah. So shout out to Specs and Craig Mitch. So I took the idea from them. They don't even do an intro anymore. They just go straight into it. They just start talking, yeah. I think the people will know who you are already. Obviously, the cricket connoisseur. If you guys want to follow him, I put his stuff in the description as always. You got anything to say starting up?
I'm not really, to be honest, mate. Yeah, of course, for anyone listening to this or, of course, watching it, go and follow Mohammed as well. Of course, click the subscribe
Slowly, slowly
button.
building up. I've got a solid core fan base of six listeners on my first episode. We're getting there. We're
Yeah, you got
getting
to
there.
start somewhere. And that's
Yeah.
advice for anyone out there, of course. It's exact same, mate.
How
Exact same. Just keep plowing.
you've done quite a few episodes now. How's your growth been?
Pretty good. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
We're currently number 10 in the UK cricket podcasts.
Sick.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. This is the thing with podcasts, audio, with content. Just get it out there. And exactly, Mohammed, I love what you're doing as well. Just get it. Just get it out there. Yeah. That's all the advice that I can give.
Because I was listening to you, right? Have you heard of a guy called Gary V? Gary Vaynerchuk.
I have. Yes. What?
He's an American. He's from New Jersey. He does a lot of content creation help stuff. And he's actually a billionaire right now. He owns a big company called VaynerX, but he's kind of reached that stage, right? He's actually one of the first people to like be on Facebook and that sort of thing. So he's obviously a big investor in Facebook when it came out, because he made a lot of big investments into these companies starting out. So he's actually, all he does now, pretty much, aside from obviously his own company, is he's constantly help. If you could monetize, if you could put in numbers, the amount of people he's helped, through the amount of money they've made from the people he's helped, you couldn't put a number on it. Like, the advice he's given me personally, like, it's crazy, man. He mentioned talking podcasts. You know, podcasts is a big thing now. Obviously, I'm doing it right now. Within the last year and a half, it shot up, right?
Massive.
He did this. He was talking about podcasts. He was like, you need to get on podcasts in 2018, at the start of 2018.
Jeez.
And obviously, you know, when people say stuff like that, it's sort of like, I'll do it. Yeah, it's another one of those things. But nah, he was right, man. And he's been right about a lot of these things. So I've like, I've taken it. I'm like, I'm sick of using it as motivational content. I'm actually applying it now. The same goes for you. You've done it for a lot longer. Have you reached that point where you can actually, how did you set up your podcast? Did you use Anchor to start all your podcast or do you use another server?
I almost said the wrong one then. Yeah, we use Podbean, not Anchor. Although Anchor is a good one as well. I know quite a few cricket ones that use it.
That's what I'm using, Anchor.
Yeah. But that's fine.
The only thing is, I started and then it showed me the monetization part. Honestly, I'm not worried about monetization. Like, you know, when you got the views you're not monetizing anything.
Oh yeah, exactly.
But then the first sponsor thing came up, which was Anchor themselves. And it was like $15 per CPM, which is 1,000 lit streams, I think.
Correct, yeah.
And it goes, you have to have a US account.
Oh, jeez.
Because you had to set it up through Stripe. So I was like, so it looks like I'm never going to be able to monetize through Anchor at all.
There's always Podbean or Buzzsprout.
Yeah. So what happens with Anchor was, the sick thing with Anchor is, you set your first episode up. I'm sure it's the same for you, but and then it kind of you choose whether you want it to go on different platforms, and then it emails you as soon as it's been submitted. They didn't even bother emailing me about iTunes, which is one of the big ones I wanted to be on, which is annoying. I was like, when is the iTunes email coming? And then I was going on, I was looking through the different cricket podcasts on iTunes, even though I have an Android phone, but you can see the iPhone.
Yeah, same here. Yeah.
And I went to cricket, and I was like, okay, cricket. I saw your one. I think, and then I saw Cricket Talks. I was like, well, Cricket Talks is mine. Why didn't they let me know? I was like, oh, that's right, let's roll with it. Because I saw my analytics. One of my people that were listening from Apple. So I was like, it has to be submitted by now. But yeah, look away from podcasts now. A game that's just happened a couple of days ago, India, Australia. From the predictions made, how far off were we? So if you can think back to the predictions you made.
In fact, to be fair, I remember my predicted 11. I was actually, I wasn't spot on. I think I got 8 or 9 of them.
Yeah.
I think other than Sanju Samson and Deepak Chahar.
And with the Australian side, we were pretty much bang on.
Yeah, I think with the Aussies, we were. That was...
It's a regulation team right now.
Yeah, exactly. They've got their best 11.
I'm going to claim a little bit of credit for Moises, right? Even though it's because Marcus got dropped.
We got injured.
He got injured, yeah. Actually, if Marcus was... Say if Marcus was dropped, right? Because he got out to his first ball. I think it was against... Who was it against? Somebody was... Who was bowling? Who got him out? It was a spinner. I think it was Yuzi Chahal, bowled a quicker ball, bounced a bit more, and he nicked it, right? If he was still on, and say he got dropped for the next match, which obviously happened, would you bring him on for the third ODI?
I don't really think they need to now. I think you might as well just save him for the T20s.
because it is a case of actually, yeah, because it is a case of can you bring people in, because it's a 2-0, the series is won. A lot of teams do that, bring in a debutant, or obviously Marcus isn't a debutant, but you get what I'm going with that. Yeah, what about the games overall? We said it was going to be a knife edge.
Yeah, it hasn't proved to be so far, has it, unfortunately? I can believe it, to be honest. And I suppose it comes down to India's bowling more than anything. Of course, Rohit Sharma has been a massive loss.
100%.
But yeah, it's just been, it's been toothless at times. And it's weird because India are an absolute titan of world cricket. And when you look at that bowling attack on paper, it is absolutely brilliant. It's a very clinical bowling attack. They showed that in the World Cup. But they've come to Australia and just nothing's gone right. And obviously the Aussie batsmen have been fantastic as well. Let's not take 100%. Anything away from Warner, Smith, Finch and Labuschagne. But yeah, it has been a very un-Indian performance, and it's something that they need to correct, because I think they've lost their last 5 ODIs now.
Yeah. And then there's also the thing of, there's a lot of reasons you could say. You could say one, I think something we can't say is a pandemic. We can't use that excuse. Countries could use that excuse, but the fact is the IPL has just gone.
It's not 50 over cricket though, and it's not international cricket. I'm just going to play a bit of devil's advocate there.
We've got the thing of England have just played their series in South Africa, and not everybody from... Well, has everybody...
Well, they played Australia. They played in the Australia, Ireland, West Indies and Pakistan series.
Oh, okay, true. Yes, it's true. But then, yeah, I just don't think... India hasn't got many excuses. I think with... it's a weird one, but this is... You've got India making an excuse for a loss, and then you've got getting thrashed. This is 51 runs and 66 runs across 2 games. It's like, it came to the point where I was following the scorecard, right? And then I saw 2 early wickets. I saw Mayank got out on a 20-odd, and then I saw Kohli got out, and it was two. Both of them were 2 actually shorter balls. I think they were Cummins or Hazelwood. And I was like, okay, they're looking shaky. But Darwin was holding on. Then I think he got to the point, KL Rahul got out, Hardik came on, Shreyas Iyer got out, and then Hardik came on. And then there was a solid partnership going.
Yes. I think
Darwin got like 70-odd, Hardik went...
Pandey got 90.
90, yeah.
Yeah.
Which was... I was like, okay, maybe they can anchor it home. They lost it, and then from then on, it was pretty much gone. Saini actually surprised me with his batting. I didn't know he could bat.
He can. Only like little cameos here and there. Don't expect him to finish off
the
game.
Like, but there's bowlers who can, there's bowlers who can swing, and there's bowlers who can't bat to save their life. And for me, looking back, I would have seen him as somebody who can't bat to save his life. I think I just might have mistaken him for Bumrah a bit, but because Bumrah obviously, I think he's just scared of the cricket ball. Let's look away from India for a bit. Let's look at Australia's performances. Yeah. Steve Smith, 200s in 2 games. I think one of the 100s were off 60-odd balls.
Correct, the third fastest ODI by an ODI century by an Australian.
And he didn't know. Yeah. And I think it would have been 60 if Labuschagne didn't slip. By the time this comes out, obviously, the last time we did this podcast, right, I released it on the Tuesday. I thought there's no point editing it, just put it out straight away. I might release this on the same day as the visuals, but by the time the third game is done, how much do you think Smith will score in the next game? Let's assume, guys, if you're listening, right, we're 9:30, we're on the 1st of December. We haven't said that Smith's going to get exactly what we think he is, but how much do you think he's going to do tomorrow?
Well, it's a quote-unquote dead rubber, and it is difficult. It's difficult to predict with Smith. I think he'll get a decent score. I'm going to go with 73.
That's specific.
I know, yeah.
All right.
Just plucked one out of thin air, to be honest, but I think he'll get a decent score.
I'm going to go... I don't think he's going to get 100 either, to be honest. I'm going to say he makes 40-something. Well, 40 is respectable.
It is, and we'll find out, won't we? It's cricket.
Yeah, yeah.
He could get out for a duck. We never know. That's exactly. The beauty of the sport, I suppose.
Exactly. And then you've got, obviously, Warner's got his 100.
But he is injured.
Exactly.
And that's a big one.
Yeah, I was going to get onto that. He's got his groin injury. That's kept him out of the final ODI now. And that's now kept him out of the T20s. He's going to be fighting for, obviously, to be fit enough for the tests. Now, this is now pointed out. When I was looking at this, this has pointed out a massive problem. Massive is maybe an overstatement. But this has pointed out a problem in cricket right now that I see, which is, right, it's not across all teams, but it's the idea of being a dynamic side, in the sense of when you have a top four, which is like going through years, say 5 years, where the top four is the same, you can't argue with that. Like no one's gonna be angry at that, right? But then you've got the time where they're reaching the 30s. Warner is in his 30s. Finch is in his 30s. He must be, right?
Yeah.
You've got to start looking at who's going to replace him. First of all, who's going to replace him in the final ODI? That's my first issue. Who do you think they're
going to... Yeah, that's the immediate one, isn't it?
And that's not a small issue, because it's like Warner and Finch have been there for years. Like, no one's had real proper experience batting in white ball cricket like that. So who do you think would cover for him? You haven't really got a load of options.
They haven't got any. I don't think they have got another round out opener.
Yeah, they haven't got any. They haven't got any actual openers. Let me just look at the squad quickly.
They haven't got Lynn. They haven't got Shorts.
Well, Lynn's sort of been doing an Andre Russell, isn't he? He's sort of like, he's kept to franchise cricket. So I don't think Lynn would have ever been an option.
I mean, one that was discussed the other day, and it would be very left field, I suppose.
Yeah.
But it's actually Marnus Labuschagne.
Yeah, it looks odd, but it could work.
It's only for one game. It's only for the last ODI, I suppose.
Yeah.
Marnus is a bit of a run machine. He likes to face the new ball as well. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see, though. That could be absolutely anyone. They could open with Smith.
It's not even a case of Marnus not wanting to bat open. He probably does want to open. He's cricket mad like Steve Smith.
Yeah.
The only thing is, no one's seen him, so obviously people are going to be looking at him like, you're a number four, why are you opening the batting? You've got Cameron Green, who obviously won't play. Actually, he could play in the middle order, but I don't think there's really any need to. You've got Moises, who's obviously batting top order. You've got Matthew Wade, who hasn't batted yet, and that's the last of your batsmen who haven't batted yet. The rest are all in the 11. So you're saying Labuschagne?
Or an interesting one would be Matt Wade, purely because he opens in T20s. And yeah, what Australia could do, because Finch and Warner have been getting them off to such good starts, not make Wade a pinch hitter, but just allow him to go out there and play his natural game. I think that'd be really interesting. And again, there's not really any impact. I know there's Super League points, but Australia should go comfortably through anyway, as should India. So yeah, I think either of those two options would be interesting.
Because with Matt Wade, the problem you've got with him, I think he's always put in a bad position to play in Australia, for Australia. He's always put in, obviously he's not playing shorter formats, is he, for Australia? But when he does play tests, he's batting sort of like 6-7. And when you're putting a player out of position like that, it's sort of like, do you expect him to get many runs? And then it's a thing of Australia fans get frustrated because it's like, this guy's not scoring, why is he still in the side? And the reality is, Australia have just been playing him wrong the whole time. He's playing out of position, isn't it? So yeah, Matt, that's an option. Has he batted in first class cricket in the top order?
In first class, what? I don't think he has for Taz.
Sorry, with ODIs in state cricket.
I'm not sure if he might have actually batted. I think he might have batted either two or three in ODIs, actually, you know.
Yeah, I've definitely seen him open for the Big Bash.
Yeah, he does for the Hobart Hurricanes.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm sure he has.
This is a weird one. You know, that's probably Labuschagne and Wade are probably making the strongest points. But then you bring Matthew Wade in. And, who's going to go down then?
Ah, my suspicions were correct.
Yeah, sorry.
He has indeed. He used to open now and again, but he has mostly been a 6 and 7.
Fair enough, yeah.
So I think Matthew Wade could then.
Then you've got the thing of, obviously Finch has done really well. He's got 83 and 114 in his two games. You've got Labuschagne, who was quiet in the first game, but he got two in the first game, And then he got 70.
Yeah, to be fair, in the first game, he was kicking on towards the end of the innings as well, wasn't he?
Yeah. And you got Maxwell, someone I mentioned who should be batting higher in the team. I don't blame him if he doesn't because of the way Australia have performed in the series. But 63 of 29 and 45 of 19. Stupid runs. That is
and the way in which he scored them as well, wasn't it? Just reverse hit, sweeps, switch, hits.
210 strike rate of both innings plus. And I think it was somebody got out with him. It might have been... I don't know who it was. It was somebody in the middle order got out. And then as soon as they got out, you know you normally take a couple balls and then get back into your momentum again. He went back straight for the switch hit. And I think he cleared it for six, which was sick. I was well happy with it. I was like, this is the Maxwell we like. And then obviously he bowls as well. He was a little expensive with the ball, but I don't really mind if he's scoring that kind of runs. You got Moises, obviously. He's playing as a filler, to be honest, right now.
Took a great catch to dismiss Kohli, though, didn't he?
Yeah.
My goodness.
And he got good bowling figures. He got 1 for 34 off his 7 overs, which is 4.84 off in terms of economy. And you got Alex Carey. He hasn't even performed really.
He hasn't had
an innings. He hasn't batted in the first game, and the second game he made 17 off 13, which obviously isn't enough time for Carey to do Carey. So yeah, we've kind of covered Australia. Now let's look at India.
Yep.
Do you think a part of their problem is the fact that they're not coping without Rohit?
Oh, I think that has to be up there. It has to be taken into consideration. Rohit's one of the best white ball batsmen in the world right now. Yeah. Just look at the World Cup. 5 centuries, a record for any batsman from any country. Of course, it's like England missing Bairstow or Roy. Mm. It's like you've lost one of your anchors of the innings and Shikhar Dhawan's partner in crime. So definitely Rohit. But again, not the omission, but the injury of Rohit Sharma doesn't explain the bowling performances. And that's where I think this series has really been lost. When you look at the bowling plans, I haven't really seen a clear, concise bowling plan. And I always compare it with Australia, with their plan to Shreyas Iyer. Now, they have a very clear, concise plan. Bowl it short from like his first 10 balls. And it's been working brilliantly so far. With regards to India, against Finch, against Warner, Smith and Labuschagne, it's just same old, same old. It's just bowling stock balls with the odd variation mixed in there. But they aren't really exploring the short ball.
Nothing special. It's standard.
Exactly. They need to almost think outside the box a bit more against these players. And I know it's Test cricket, but we saw the ability of Neil Wagner to almost shake up Steve Smith. I wish that the likes of Saini and Bumrah would just include that in their game, just slightly more against Steve Smith. Again, just as Australia have done against Iyer. First 10 balls, put it in short, bounces. If it goes for a wide, it goes for a wide, but you're getting inside of his head. And that could throw Steve Smith off a little bit.
I was looking at some comments, actually. Could you use the argument? People were using the argument, with his Indian fans in this case, of mental fatigue after the IPL. That's not an excuse, is it?
I don't think that is. I think I don't even think it is an excuse. I think match weariness or lack of match readiness could be. Because as we've said, an IPL, you've had a month and a half long tournament, and then you're thrown into a completely different format.
Yeah.
And this is one that they haven't played since March, where they lost 3-0 to New Zealand. So yeah. I think definitely lack of match readiness, I think. And we saw that in the first game with the over rate. I think that was evident for everyone to see.
Yeah. It definitely looks like it's bigger than him not scoring runs. Obviously, Sharma's there as you've got... When you've got Sharma on your team, you're sort of looking like there's going to be a blip, but the majority of the time, you're going to get a 50. And when you get your 50, he's going to score 100. It's a simple... It's the way
incredible conversion rate.
Yeah. But it looks so much bigger than right now. The way I'm looking at India's side is... He's not there and the whole team looks out of place, like the entire batting unit in this case. He's kind of gone. Mayank is there. Mayank is doing... I'm not disappointed with Mayank. I'm going to put it that way. He hasn't had enough time to open the bat for India and he scored 220s plus, which obviously you want more, but I'm not disappointed with that. But then it looks like Coley's come in. Obviously, first of all, Coley's attitude looks horrible, because he gets out, and then it's sort of the anger he puts out. People get onto this for other captains. The idea of leadership, and when you're getting out, you're angry, but it's the idea of you need to set an example to your other players, and he doesn't look like he's doing that right now. And the whole team now looks out of place, because it's like Sharma's got this, I don't know, probably maybe Sharma has this sort of atmosphere he brings into the side, but a whole team looks like there's a constant missing piece to a jigsaw, and it's not just a fact of Rohit bringing in 70 runs to the team. It looks like the whole atmosphere, in a sense. Would you say that, or would you just stick to the idea of him not having runs?
Oh, it's a tough one, and it depends what side of the Coley Rohit fence you sit on, I suppose. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, as an RCB fan, I'm always going to defend Coley. He's an incredible player, and I believe he's about 20 or so in runs off becoming the first or fastest player to 12,000 ODI runs. Yeah, it's fastest, has to be, because obviously Sachin. And not only that, he's got a ridiculous record in ODI chases. So it's an interesting one, and of course that is a criticism of Coley. It always has been. He's an incredibly, intensely passionate player, and sometimes that does spill over when he gets out, in particular when he gets out early or when he gets out in the 90s.
Yeah.
But again, this is where the C word, clarity, comes into again. With this Indian team, this has been going on for absolutely months, and realistically, Ravi Shastri and that entire management team need to just come out and say, right, this is going to be a long-term plan. If we're sticking with Virat, so be it. Let's just quash the rumours of Rohit becoming captain. But when you throw into the mix the split captaincy between formats, when you throw into the mix the fact that people want Coley replaced with Rohit outright.
Yes. That's what I was going to get onto. I was going to say, after the IPL, there's a lot of talk about Rohit being captain. Where are you standing on that right now?
Well, first of all, I think that's actually contributing to India's problems. Because imagine hearing that as a player. You've got a guy who, in my opinion, is the closest that this generation, as in this specific one, has to Tendulkar. And yet he's almost being disposed in front of you by the media, by fans who want Rohit. So that's already throwing a spanner in the works, per se.
And this whole thing of split captaincy, that is horrible. The idea of sharing your duty as a captain, what happens when they're both 30 plus, right? They're going to retire at some point. Yeah. Is Coley in his 30s, right? He's early 30s.
Yeah.
So they're going to retire? We're going to lose two captains, in a sense? Like, well, what's going to... The idea of split, it just doesn't make any sense. You got to pick one or the other, and Coley is at the same time not showing his ambition to stay captain, and he's sort of being scapegoated at the very same time. Not because of his failures, but more to do... Well, partly because of his failures with the IPL, which shouldn't really be having an impact on international cricket. And at the same time with IPL, Sharma's success as a captain for Mumbai Indians, which, not to get off topic too much, but Mumbai Indians, I've actually spoken about this before, Mumbai Indians are Mumbai Indians because this, I think, I don't know, maybe it's a thing to do with their management, whether they've done this deliberately or not, it's clever. They've got such a good core, sort of core team. You've got Rohit Sharma, Surya Kumar Yadav, which obviously he hasn't made his India team yet, but he's an established player in the Mumbai Indians. Kieran Pollard, Jasprit Bumrah. Am I missing anyone?
You know, every single one of these names you're mentioning, by the way, it's a fantastic point, and I'm really, really glad that you brought it up. Because when you look at the 2020 final and you compare that in exact 11 to 2019, nine of those players are the exact same lineup. There's only two people missing. Kutnal came in for Malinga, and then Jayant Yadav obviously came in for Rahul Chahar.
That's my point. It's like they've got a core team of six players, six give or take. And then you've got your four, which are your very top order batsmen. Oh, I forgot, Ishan Kishan, who's completely underrated in my opinion, especially this season. And then they've got a couple players in the bowling department, which just rotate. I think you had, who's a New Zealand seamer who came in and out?
So you had Trent Bolt, you had Coulton Isle, James Pattinson.
Yeah.
I mean, even you mentioned about bench depth as well. They had Dawal Kulkarni, who's an absolute IPL veteran, used to play for Rajasthan, played for the Gujarat Lions as well. Yeah, it was just, well,
that's exactly the point. T20. It's like their core team is strong and then they constantly rotate. Their draft, it's almost as when they go to the IPL draft and they're retaining players and taking in new players, they're not, I don't think they need to be as focused as other teams because of the fact that they're bringing in four players, at probably four or five at most, and they're sort of going to be one or two specialist players that are always going to be in the 11. When you look at teams like RCB, it looks like they've just brought in four new players and they're permanent. They look like they're going to be permanent and they're gone the next season. The same goes for a lot of other teams. Rajasthan are slowly, obviously Rajasthan finished really low in the table this year, but Rajasthan are slowly getting there. It's just about, can they maintain the paychecks, because they've got Steve Smith, Jofra Archer, and now is Ben Stokes still with them, right?
Yeah, and Joss. Yeah.
And Joss. So it's like, if they can maintain the paychecks, then go ahead. But yeah, that's exactly my point. It's like, you can't be using Sharma's success as an IPL captain towards the T20 cricket. It's two completely different games, in my opinion. Two completely different pressures. So for me, yeah, it just doesn't work out. The same now goes on to with the Sharma-Darwin partnership. At the top of the order, that's gone on. It's similar to Finch and Warner in the sense it's gone on for so long, with because of heavy schedules. The point I wrote down was that because they've gone long so long with heavy schedules and aging, they're going to reach a point where they're going to start slightly aging. And the fact that they bought Mayank in now, just because Rohit isn't available, what's going to happen in 2 years' time when they suddenly start needing a bit more rest? Because if you've obviously probably noticed in the last year or two, cricket's got so much more schedule. There's so many more games going on.
Yeah.
Players are suddenly needing rest, like taking out games for rest, essentially. And boards have to allow that because there's certain players, i.e. Ben Stokes with ECB, that he can demand rest because of the work rate he has. And if they say no and Ben Stokes pulls a strop, then the idea is you've got a bit of a Moeen Ali situation, but it's just scaled in this case. So what's going to happen to the point where when they retire, get maybe 4 years' time, will India be able to adapt enough? What do you think on that?
Well, that's a very difficult question because, as you said, we are still 4 years away,
technically.
Or three, I suppose, from that World Cup in India. But it's going to be very, very interesting. It's a fantastic point. You've got Mayank Agarwal, someone who I really like as well as Shubman Gill. Now, he got a lot of flack during the IPL for strike rate, but in ODI cricket, he's a very, very good player because he's one who can absorb the new ball and then progress as the innings progresses.
100%.
So I think those for the future, and as you've rightfully said there, Maham, it is going to be an interesting decision for India when they take that step. I don't think that needs to happen immediately. I still think Sharma and Dhawan are more than capable enough. I mean, for goodness sake, they were like one of the best opening pairings last year. So I don't think that'll happen for a while. But again, if they can just sprinkle the likes of Gill, Agarwal in there for just an odd series or two, get some international experience under the belt, it'll ease the process once that decision's made in 3-4 years' time. So yes, that's the approach India will make.
That's the point I want to get on. And we're going to talk about this on a little 10-minute segment that we're going to do later on, which is the idea of England side, essentially, with Adil Rashid and spinners right now, which is a problem that I've mentioned on social media a lot, which is, at what point are England going to start integrating new spinners into the side? Exactly. Matt Parkinson, Mason Crane was left in the dark for a bit, or still is right now. Are there any problems you can make out in the batting aside from that?
In terms of India?
Yeah.
You'd have to argue, I suppose, the middle order in a way with Ayer Rahul. But at the same time, with Iyer, he is still a young batsman. We think so highly of Shreyas Iyer. And I know there have been a lot of comparisons with him and Kohli in terms of the classical way in which they play. But he still hasn't had a load of ODI experience. He really hasn't. And yet he's proven himself up until this point, I think. Maybe not in this series. There has definitely been a flaw in his game with that short ball. But again, I think it's manageable. I think it's one that in a few years' time, with a few more ODIs under his belt, he'll become adapted to it. I think he'll evolve into an even better cricketer than he is.
100%.
So I suppose that's a slight issue now, but it's one that can be rectified. I don't think there's any absolutely catastrophic errors or anything like that in terms of the batting. It's just the bowling. And with this team, I suppose it is the extra bowling option. They have been lacking that throughout the entire series. Hardik did bowl four overs. I believe he got one or two for 24.
Yeah.
Game. So I think that's where India needs to focus, because it's all well and good having Kohli, Dhawan, Sharma, Rahul, Iyer, Pandya, but it's no good if you're conceding 370 plus, 380 plus runs a game. That needs to be addressed first, and then the batting will come in line afterwards.
Yeah. Not to get off too off topic, but Shreyas Iyer, IPL, do you think their success was solely because of Iyer's captaincy, or would you say it was because more to do with the entire team as a whole?
I think it's a mix of both, to be honest. He's still a young captain. And as I said, I think very, very highly. I think the listeners will be able to tell this by the way in which I'm speaking about Shreyas Iyer. But it was a mix. And I think with Delhi as well, you mentioned with Mumbai, that core. Delhi built this core basically from the ground up. They laid this foundation years ago with the likes of Shaw, Iyer, Pant. I mean, it's been going on for years, just slowly simmering beneath the surface. And then 2019 rolls around and suddenly they become an absolute challenger. So it's a mix of both. And again, I think Delhi, I know this is domestic T20, but they are a fantastic blueprint, I think, for international teams as well. Because for years they were the bottom feeders, but they continue to develop young Indian talent and indeed young overseas talent. Look at Rabada, look at Quinton de Kock as well. Those two came through the Delhi system. So yeah, I think it's a mix of both. Iyer obviously is the spearhead. He's the guy who's going to get a lot of credit. But at the same time, I think the chemistry built was built years ago. And for that, I think the Delhi Capitals as an organisation deserve just as much credit.
Yeah. In terms of their bowling, actually, barring Jadeja, who went for about 6 and over in the second game, and then Shami, who did really well in the first game, but was obviously let down by the rest of his bowlers, I think he bowled 3 for 59 of his 10 overs. 5.9, you'd say, is a hint above what you'd want as an ODI bowler. But 3 wickets, I think 2 of them he got early. 2 of them, well, the 3 were at the top order-ish. What is your take on the idea of, would you change any of the bowlers for the last game?
Yes.
And are you...
Yes.
So then, debutants, who are you bringing in?
I'm bringing in Deepak Chahar. I put him in my original 11, purely because we've mentioned there, yes, they're getting top order wickets, but look where they're taking them. They're taking them past the 20th, 25th over. So they need someone who has got that ability to shape the ball. We saw Aaron Finch's, what to say, not a vulnerability, but all, a slight weakness to the swinging ball in the IPL. So why not use a swing bowler? Deepak Chahar is a natural swing bowler.
Who is India's other medium pace bowler?
Shardul Thakur.
Was it even him? There was a bowler who bowled to Pakistan in the 2019 World Cup. The one time we faced him.
Vijay Shankar.
Yes.
Could be an option, because if Hardik can't bat, he could come in and bowl. Yes.
Exactly, because he was doing crazy things with the ball. He swings it a lot, just as much. He's not in the squad though, is he?
The issue with Vijay as well, he's been a bit out of touch with the bat. So that's the thing. I know a lot of people have been saying bring him in as the extra option. But if India don't get off to a good start, he hasn't been in great form with the bat. So you're pretty much swapping out a batting all-rounder for an out-of-form batting all-rounder. So, of course, you're going to lose quite a few runs.
But then it's also a case of, are we going to prioritise their bowling, or are we going to put trust in the fact that... their top five is strong enough to hold on for the last ODI? Because Dhawan, I'm not disappointed in. By the time Mayank and Dhawan are out, you've got 100, give or take. You've got Kohli, who stood out in the last game. He got his 80-odd. And then you've
90.
Got 90, sorry.
Yeah, brilliant.
Shreyas got his runs. And then obviously Hardik did okay, did really well in the first game and then dipped a bit in the second. So it's sort of a case of, do we want to prioritise? Obviously, in reality, it's not going to happen because you've got a quarantine. So... he's not going to be in for the last game, but I sort of, Deepak Chahar, you make a good point about it. So you wouldn't bring Sunrisers death bowler Natarajan, would you?
He's an interesting one, but at the same time, if you're going to bring in Natarajan, their issue hasn't been death bowling. I mean, it has at some points, but again, that issue in the death bowling has been brought about by lack of plans in the power play and a lack of success in the power play. So I think it's interesting for India. I mean, they could make two changes, and one of them for the last ODI could be massive, because one of them could be, if they need the extra death bowler, would have to be Shamil Bumrah. There's nobody else who you're going to take out unless you're not going to go with Yuzvendra Chahal and you only go one spinner. So I think that would be very interesting. As I said, for me personally, I think the more pressing issue is the power play. And we know Finch's weakness against lateral movement. And Deepak Chahar is one of the most natural white ball swing bowlers in the world right now. So that's the direction I'd go with. In terms of Natarajan, as I said, if India can be bowled, if they just go, you know what, we'll experiment, I think he could play a good role. Because they have been toothless at the death as well. They conceded so many runs the other day against Maxwell. And a guy like Natarajan, who we've seen execute six consecutive Yorkers in the 18th and 20th overs in the IPL, I know it's a different format, but he could be imperative but to their success
IPL,
as well.
IPL, give or take, right now is producing more pressure than the series. You've got an empty stadium. So it's a case of international cricket, yes, international cricket, but IPL with or without fans, the amount of pressure emerging players get from it, because obviously they're probably their first big paycheck in a sense. It's like, could you say he's already got that pressure taken in? And it's a weird one.
It's different. It's a completely different ball game. I'm telling you now, Mohammed, when you speak to these cricketers, and obviously I haven't spoken to Tangarasu, I haven't had the pleasure to do that.
Yeah.
But there is a massive, massive step up. And it's one that we as fans can only really imagine in our heads, because it's one I certainly will never do it. So that leap, even from the IPL, I've spoken to players who have played in the IPL, the PSL, the CPL, the Big Bash. It prepares you, but only to some extent. Once you get to international cricket, it's almost being thrown in the deep end in swimming. And then you either sink or you swim. It's as simple as that. Some players will sink, most do, and some players will rise to the surface and swim. So again, it depends whether India will chuck him in the proverbial deep end or not. Yeah. But we'll have to wait and see whether that occurs or not.
Cool. So finishing up, are we agreeing that you're going to take out Navdeep Saini?
I'm an RCB fan, so that almost feels blasphemous to say. I don't know. It's an interesting one. In a way, purely because it is the last game of the series, I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing just one spinner, to be honest. Chahal's been woefully out of form.
Yeah.
So, and I think he's taken a wicket and gone for about 160, 170 runs. Again, another RCB stalwart. Feels like sacrilege for me to say. But I think if they are going to bring in an extra seamer, you bring in Deepak Chahar.
Yeah. Then are you going to say that's your only change for the next game?
For me personally, I'd like to see Shubman Gill. I know you mentioned Mike Agarwal.
Yeah.
And of course, I agree, he does need some time at the crease as well. But I just love Shubman Gill. I want to see him in there and potentially Sanju Samson. Just experiment. This is the thing. We've still got 3 years. It's not like the T20, which we've got in 9-10 months. We've still got many years to find that winning combination, I think, for India. So I'd be willing to make two or three. But again, that's me. India will probably see it completely differently. And yeah, we'll have to find out at, what, 3:40 a.m. tomorrow in England.
And finishing up with Australia, are we making any changes since it's the last game? Would you put anyone up the order in this case?
I think I personally would go Matt Wade as just a, you know, like for like with Warner. I wouldn't mind seeing Cam Green, you know, because there's going to be no pressure on this game. And I know Moises did well. And of course, it would be unfair to drop him, and I don't think Australia will. But I just think a guy like Cam Green, who's been absolutely crushing it in the Sheffield Shield, is a guy who's really highly touted by anyone who's ever seen the Western Warriors play. I think he would be an interesting option. So potentially Cam Green as well.
Okay. So who are you taking out if you're going to put Cam Green in?
Unfortunately, Moises. And he was an ex-RCB player as well. Not really defending my players here.
Yeah.
I'd have to make the hard choice and get rid of Moises.
Fair enough. And are we both predicting that it's a finishing game for Australia again?
I don't know, because I love Indian cricket. This is the thing, I do love Indian cricket. And I don't want to see them get to a stage where they've lost six games in a row. So call me optimistic. I think India will win it. I think they may find their winning combination tomorrow.
Seriously?
Why not? It's cricket. There's a 50-50 chance. Anything can happen.
I would say that Australia have got it in the bag again. But Let's really put the bag. Would you say it's a bigger win than what was the last game?
Well, I've chosen India purely out of heart and love for the IPL and Indian cricketers.
I'm going to be blunt because my passion for the countries are about the same. I hate them equally, so I want to.
I can't say I do.
I want to say they're going to win. I'm going to say they win, but it's going to be by a closer margin this time. I'm going to put about, if it's a chasing game, I think India are going to be short of 20 odd runs, maybe 30. And if Australia are chasing, they're going to get it pretty comfortably, I'd say, by about 6 wickets.
That's
my take. Because the idea is Smith's in so much form. I think they're confident.
Without Warner, though.
But even then, it's sort of, say there's an early wicket, you've got guys who have produced 50 scores until number like 5 very, very easily. You've got Labuschagne, Smith, Finch and Maxwell, and I don't think we've seen the least of Maxwell. Maxwell hasn't had enough deliveries, so I think we've still got more to see of Maxwell. And then you obviously got Carey, who hasn't batted yet. He hit 17 of 13 odd, but yeah, that's about this most we've seen of him. And then we've got Mitchell Stark as well, who can swing
and
a little.
Cummins. Yeah.
And Cummins, yeah. So yeah, that was our take on the Australia series. If you guys are listening, my core fan base of 6. Hopefully 7 by the time we finish. But let us know what you guys are thinking. Subscribe to Cricket Connoisseur. He's on Instagram, YouTube, and you've got your Counter Cricket podcast. So if
yes.
You guys want to follow that. If you want to follow mine, it's still, I've rebranded after 3 subscribers. It's now just Mo Blogs. I'm going to keep all my videos across one channel, which is not what I was going to do before. So it's going to be separate shows. So in this case, Cricket Talks is going to be a podcast, but it's also going to be a separate show on as a playlist sort of thing on my YouTube channel. And then my music and my Breaking It Down channel, where I talk with athletes and entrepreneurs and that sort of thing, it's going to be another separate show. So it's all together, but it's not all together in a sense. So yeah, guys, let me know. And that was it. We'll see you next Tuesday. If you guys are reaching that, if you guys have reached this point and you're hearing me now, just want to say a quick thank you. Thank you for reaching the end of the episode. I know these are kind of long episodes. This one's about 40 odd minutes, which is quite a bit longer than the last one. So just want to say thank you for reaching the end of the episode. Please let me know your thoughts and any topics you want me to tackle with. And if there's someone you want me to do it with, barring Aaron or the Cricket Connoisseur, as you guys might have known him, let me know on Instagram, let me know on Twitter. It's Cricket Talks Pod on both handles. Or go onto the YouTube, which we have the visuals put up. So you guys can comment on whatever you want me to tackle on there. And if you guys want any specific guests on the show that I don't necessarily know, or and you know, they meet everything I want them to do, which isn't a whole lot much, to be honest, but if you guys really want them on, then please let me know, tag them, send that to them and ask them to hit me up, or just put them down and I'll have a talk with them as well and see what we can do. So yeah, thank you for listening to this episode. I'll see you guys on episode 3, which haven't decided what it's going to be about. It's obviously going to be in the latest news. So we're looking at, obviously, right now, as of almost 8 o'clock when I should have uploaded it, we should be talking about New Zealand's West Indies game, which currently looks like New Zealand is going to take them very comfortably after Kane Williamson's master knock of 251. And we'll talk about that. We should talk about the rest of the Australia side, the rest of the series so far, obviously with Warner's injury, how they've coped at this point. After this episode, India have won their final ODI to make it a 2-1 series to Australia, and they've also won their first T20, which in reality Australia should have won, but it is what it is. So I want to say thank you for that, and please subscribe to the handles, like I said before, and a million times. And yeah, I'll see you on episode 3.